Good numbers for some big government contractors are some of the biggest highlights of Wall Street's earnings season. For one company, a big contract award means a nice pop in the stock price. Ross Wilkers is newsroom editor at Executive Mosaic, and they keep the GovCon Index. And Ross is my first guest on Industry Chatter today. Ross, it's great to talk to you again. The month of October overall was pretty good, it seems, for companies in the government contracting space dollar-wise and news story-wise, because we got the budget deal that will bring some certainty, hopefully, over the rest of fiscal 2016. Did that reflect in what you see in the GovCon Index, Ross? Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, sure thing. And yes, I hope the phrase strongest month in 2015 can resonate with your audience, because that's what the GovCon Index did for the month of October. Near the end of the month, it closed at an all-time high, the highest figure since we've been tracking it in October of last year. And the budget deal certainly helped give investors with the interest in this industry some clarity as to where we might be for the next year and a half to 2 years. But just like any company, when you post earnings that are above what the investment analysts say you're going to do, you're going to get new people in to buy the stock.
And we've seen that consistently with some of the biggest companies in the GovCon Index, that their earnings are coming in looking very good. And that's certainly the case throughout all of Wall Street. There are a lot of companies that are posting good earnings through this earnings season. Northrop Grumman in particular got a nice little bump with the award of the LRSB, didn't it, Ross?
$23 billion in the engineering part. And if the Air Force buys all of the planes that it says it could, Northrop could take in $80 billion in that contract over the next decade or two. And then they got a double dose of good news the day after the Air Force announced the bomber award, and that they beat the Wall Street estimate for earnings and revenue. So if you're an employee, shareholder, or executive at Northrop Grumman, the last week of October was one to celebrate.
Really good news 2 days in a row for them. Does one butt it up right up against the other? Are they connected, or is it just coincidence that the bomber contract comes in and stock pops like that?
It's not a coincidence when you book such a large contract like the long-range strike bomber that's been anticipated for years. And day traders certainly scan the headlines for even little things that they can see as indicators of this is a good time to buy. And if you're, and certainly for investors, when you see that the company like that can get a revenue pop like that over the next decade or two, you're going to obviously want to buy in. And what's interesting about Northrop's stock is that when I look back and tried to see what the actual tick was in post-market trading, it spiked at least 6% in 15 minutes. And then when it opened on that Wednesday morning, it surged again another 6 or 7% right after the opening bell. So there was certainly a lot of cheers there, too.
That perspective is interesting, too, because a lot of people, I think, in our space think about these issues at quarter to quarter. Obviously, there's pressure on these companies to perform quarter to quarter. But I don't think many people pay attention to the granular level that really some of the money behind these companies pays attention to it. And that is exactly what you're talking about, quarter hour to quarter hour when there's big news like this, Ross.
Oh, certainly. And so for the particular audience that I think you're referring to, there is specifically traders as opposed to investors that are looking for a short-term profit from buying the shares and then selling it right when they think the high point is on a minute-to-minute basis. And that's why when you look at intraday charts for companies like Northrop, and to go back a few months, when Leidos booked the large defense health record contract, word started to leak out about 30 minutes before the closing bell, and Leidos' stock price went up about 8 or 9% in 15 minutes, and then it settled back to kind of a 6 or 7% swing for that day. So for traders looking for that short-term take from buying and selling, that's the kind of thing that they look for.
And I don't think anybody necessarily advocates that kind of risk, because that's not for everybody. It's not for many people, in fact. But it's interesting, I think, to consider what those kinds of very short-term pops can do for a long-term portfolio for somebody who's interested in the government contracting space. Ross Wilkers is newsroom editor at Executive Mosaic. Now, a topic you and I have addressed on a number of occasions before is the implication on the that some of these issues have with the index overall and the prices of individual companies for mergers and acquisitions. We're seeing now that Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, Frank Kendall, may seek a legislative, a congressional remedy for potential M&A in the defense industrial base. What does that look like potentially for the landscape of the defense industrial base? Could it force not only preventing mergers and acquisitions, but could it in fact result in some divestitures or companies that break up, split, as we've seen with Lockheed Martin's plans and others, Ross?
Well, so I saw that comment too, and what's interesting about the way Frank Kendall did it, it made those comments as first he made it on that comment about wanting to limit these mergers in a roundtable with print reporters, and then he went on air on a CNBC about a week later to reiterate that, and then he referenced the legislative tool, as you mentioned, and I recommend to your audience that they find that interview, because it's very interesting. But it's important to look at the GovCon sector, as you have your weapons makers, which are the big prime contractors, and then you have some of the pure play services firms, where we've seen a lot of the consolidation recently. And my initial inclination is that Frank Kendall was specifically talking about the six big weapons makers, the Northrops, the GDs, the Boeings, Raytheons, BAEs, and the like. And you can kind of understand where he's coming from just a consumer point of view. You want as many choices as possible. You want to inspire competition. Competition makes for a better product, et cetera. So with this, but it is interesting that he wants a legislative tool, because you would think that they would use antitrust law as the tool to limit some of these consolidations. But he's talking about a national security stake in trying to keep that part of the defense industrial base as is. So it'll be interesting to see if he fleshes out that thought a little more as the year drags on.
Ross, we'll put a link to the interview with Frank Kendall on CNBC at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon or later, and so folks can see that anytime they want, because you're right, those remarks are instructive. And I agree with you that the intent of those remarks was likely what you said it was. I just wonder if it will wind up having a little bit wider impact than maybe he intended or expected.
Well, he seemed to have ruffled some feathers, specifically along the weapons makers. And so my conversations with some executives that deal more on the engineering, systems engineering, technical, and acquisition services side, they'll tell you that the market is ripe for consolidation in that part of the industry, as just to have what they would call kind of a more focused competition, less players in that sector, so that the government has a more clear picture of what that part of the market looks like now. For the weapons makers, it's interesting, because we hear a lot about, you know, them wanting to innovate. And something that was interesting to me from that conversation that Kendall said was he was talking about share repurchases too, as kind of the companies choosing that instead of investing in R&D. So that's another component that maybe you can look at. But in terms of the M&A market in terms of those six. I'm not sure that we'll hear any moves in that industry, nothing like the 1990s, but we have certainly in the services side, we have a few big chunks like L3's security business, Lockheed services business, and some others. And so we'll see what happens there the rest of the year.
Ross, great insight as always. Thanks very much for coming on the program today.
All right, great. Thank you.